You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We said four quarters, all gas, no break. You guys did that today. Hell of a job.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation and Packer Report. I cover the NFL around the internet, and you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast in the state of Wisconsin, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Today's episode is brought to you by the Frederton Medical College of Wisconsin. Working hard to bring you what's possible for your health, the Frederton and MCW Health Network is transforming the way care is delivered to make it easier for you to connect with the best of academic medicine when and where you need it. It is Crossover Wednesday today, and we have David Drogemeier from Locked On Chargers coming on to talk about a Los Angeles team that comes off a win against the Chicago Bears. I'm sure some of you watched that game. It was a battle to see who could give away the game the hardest. And ultimately, the Bears won that endeavor, which means the Chargers won the actual game. As you will hear David say, the Chargers have invented ways to lose games over the last five or so years. And no one is better at pulling defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, it is just the reality of what this team has been. And we're going to get into it with David. I do want to mention that there is a little bit of housekeeping to do here before we get too far into the show. Billy Turner is on the show tomorrow. And that is clearly something that I hope you listen to. It's an awesome conversation by no fault of mine, just because he is a really chatty guy. He's a really thoughtful guy, a really, really interesting guy. And so look out for that tomorrow, where we would normally have someone like Jason come on and talk about the opponent. That's going to be on Friday, and then we're going to have a Periscope show on Friday as well. That is going to be Periscope only. So if you want to listen, you have to watch. First, though, the trade deadline came and went. Green Bay was reportedly in on a number of receivers and never ended up pulling the trigger. They were interested in guys like Robbie Anderson. They had been in on Emmanuel Sanders. And I don't want to waste too much time on it because it's something that really doesn't matter anymore. This is the team that Green Bay is going to take into Los Angeles, and it's the team that they're going to go forward with the rest of the season. So I don't know that we gain much from looking at, you know, what could have been done. Nothing was really done on trade deadline day, not anything that Green Bay would have been interested in. So I think we're best suited moving forward there, but there's still plenty of news to get to on the Packers and Chargers side. So let's start with the Packers stuff, because the Packers made a couple roster moves that would maybe normally in a different circumstance not be met with any sort of opinion at all, frankly, from most Packer fans. But the Packers did release Darius Shepherd. And they released Darius Shepherd because they signed Tremont Smith from the practice squad. He had been on the team and had played just one game as the returner, and then was released, signed back to the practice squad. Darius Shepherd was given the opportunity with the receiver injuries in particular to be on the field and be a part of the return game. He failed that task. And there is just no other way to put it than he failed that task. And it is, you know, reflective of Brian Gutekunst's mentality that, you know, I think Mike McCarthy would have continued. I think he would have stayed the course. I think he would have said, you know, look, he's a young player. We have faith in him, and we're just going to keep going. That would have been his mentality with it. I just don't think Brian Gutekunst feels that way. I don't think Matt LaFleur feels that way. They have proven that they are a competition-based team. They want every spot to be up for grabs every week, and if you are not playing up to your ability, they will find someone who is. I mean, Will Redmond, who had a couple nice games – all of a sudden has some struggles against Oakland, and the Packers put in Chandon Sullivan. They were not hesitant. Well, Redmond's not getting it done. Chandon, here is your opportunity. And, you know, they still have a decision to make on Ibrahim Campbell. They have started the clock on him with him practicing. We will find out more this week, you know, if he is actually healthy and ready to go. And that is important, too, because right now, not only did they release Darius Shepherd and sign Smith, but they also released Evan Bayless. That gets them, with the signings and the cuts, that gets them to 52. Well, Jay Sternberger can come off IR this week, and they can activate Ibrahim Campbell this week. And so if Campbell's going to come back, you know, they either have to activate him or they have to put him on IR. And, you know, my guess is there is a corresponding roster move to be made there if they're going to do that. Well, there has to be. And, you know, who could that be? Well, Tim Williams is an option. Adam Pankey is an option. Ryan Grant is a potential option, though I think with Shepherd going down to what I assume is the practice squad, or at least that's going to be the hope. I don't think he has shown anything on the field that would indicate that an NFL team would have interest in him. I think with his release, then that leaves Ryan Grant in a position to, even if he's not active, to continue to be useful to this team, because, you know, he could play. You know, if they get Devontae Adams back, he becomes a little bit less necessary, but, you know, you still want to have that insurance. He was signed for a reason, and I still think there's an opportunity for him to potentially contribute down the line. You know, we haven't seen Tim Williams, but he's a veteran. Adam Pankey is a young player that they like. There are certainly options. It's not as though they're going to run out of possibilities and places to deal with the edge of this roster. There are plenty of guys who can be cut or waived. We'll see what the Packers want to do there. I think there was some speculation when those moves were made that it would be because there is a trade coming, and that just turned out to be not the case. So the return game is settled. I think this hints strongly that Bayless was one of the cuts, that Jay Sternberger is the guy, and then they're going to see with Campbell. The Packers need a third safety. And, you know, Raven Green could still come off IR. That's still an option, too, and maybe they feel more comfortable with that. You know, they signed Ibrahim Campbell and put EQ on IR around the same time, and it felt like those were related, that they wanted to have that roster spot so they could sign Ibrahim Campbell. And you know, obviously we had to put him on PUP, but it felt like that those were related. And maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But Green Bay needs the help. Campbell showed that he could be a useful player, and so getting him in the mix could potentially make this defense better. The part of this for the Chargers that we have to talk about is Ken Wisenhunt was fired earlier in the week. And that's important for a number of reasons. The first is that throws this week into a little bit of turmoil and certainly changes the normal process of things. They have to be notified. Shane Steichen has to come in and you know, take over, put his stamp on the playbook and the play design and all of the things that you want to do for the week, the plan, as it were. And that could have some positive impact for the Chargers because it means some unscouted looks. It means some unpredictability. We don't know what a Shane Steichen offense looks like, and that's something that we'll have Jason Hirschhorn on later in the week to discuss. Shane Steichen, it should be noted, was a potential OC candidate for Josh McDaniels. So had Josh McDaniels taken the Packers job, if it were offered, Steichen could have and likely would have been the offensive coordinator. So Green Bay is going to get to see what it's missing out on, though I suspect it is not missing out on much, or at least Packer fans are not going to feel that way, regardless of how the Chargers play. I mean, even if they come out and score 50, you're going to just be like, well, look, they're, you know, the Packers are 7-1, and maybe, I guess, if the Chargers score 50, probably 7-2. But that does complicate things a little bit because it's harder to set up tendencies, and that means it's harder to scout. But the personnel is still the personnel. We still expect the overall approach is going to be more or less the same, maybe a little bit more attention to the run game, a little bit more play action, a little bit more Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon in the passing game. There are a lot of things that could change a little bit. And it is gonna break tendencies, and so that's gonna make things a little bit more difficult for Mike Patton. But you know, it's not gonna affect what Aaron Rodgers does. It's not going to affect how Matt LaFleur prepares. Ultimately, I don't think it has a huge effect on the game unless, you know, Steichen is a hidden treasure, and maybe he is. Who knows? And speaking of hidden treasure, your football knowledge could be a hidden treasure if you take that knowledge and apply it at some place like MyBookie. Every weekend, our favorite players take the field, our favorite teams take the field, so why aren't you getting in the action yourself? We're halfway through the NFL season, or at least, I guess, almost 8 games in a 17-week season, so the Packers have played their halfway, but not all teams have. This is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie has the most up-to-date lines, the most prop bets, and the best player perks in the system, including right now. If you go to MyBookie, they will double your first deposit. That's right. They will give you money just for depositing money. You put $1,000 in, they will give you $1,000. Double your initial deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at mybookie.ag today, because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. You're worried about the Packers injury report. I get it. But what happens when you wind up on the injury report? The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network is transforming the way healthcare is delivered to make it easier for you to connect with the best of academic medicine when and where you need it. But what exactly is academic medicine anyway? First, it's rare. There are only 120 academic medical centers in the country. The Frederick and MCW network is one of only 2 in the state and the only one in eastern Wisconsin. Academic medicine makes possible leading-edge primary and specialty care, research to find innovative cures for complex diseases, and the education of the next generation of healthcare professionals. It's like having a 2-time MVP quarterback under center. You know you're in good hands, and you might just see things you never thought possible. Frederick and MCW physicians have been part of many scientific discoveries of new ways to prevent and treat diseases. Still wondering what academic medicine offers you? Visit www.frederick.com/academic. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. This is what is possible. All right, let's get to the crossover Wednesday portion of the show. David Drogemeyer from Locked On Chargers. You can follow him on Twitter at DDRO619. Obviously, the co-host of Locked On Chargers, the co-host of the Chargers Dom Pod. David, thanks for joining Locked On Packers.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Good to get here. To always love these crossovers. It's always great to get the perspective of the opposing teams and their fans. So looking forward to it.
For sure. So before there's even football stuff to talk about, we have to talk about the coaching machinations, because earlier this week, the Chargers fired offensive coordinator Ken Wisenhunt, who had been there since 2016. Obviously is a well-known coach among NFL fans. This, though, was not particularly surprising, I don't think, given, you know, the relative struggles of this offense, some of the issues that they've had. But let me ask it to you this way. Was Ken Wisenhunt really the problem with the Chargers?
Yeah, I don't think he was the whole problem. Although, you know, throughout his tenure as an offensive coordinator for the Chargers, the first time and even, you know, this second time around, he's never really been able to run the ball effectively and find balance with his offenses. He's always had prolific passing offenses, have done very, very well, always ranked very highly in the league, but has never really been able to find that balance and run the football as effectively. And this year, especially with head coach Anthony Lynn, who's a former running back, former running backs coach, who really, really believes in running the football, running it at 69.5 yards per game is just not going to get it done. So I think, you know, all those things compounded against each other, and that's ultimately what led to the Chargers letting Ken Wisenhunt go.
How much of that is personnel versus scheme? Because the offensive line the last few years has been in flux. Obviously, we know Melvin Gordon has been extremely productive, though he hasn't been nearly as good this year as we've seen him. But Austin Ekeler, on the other hand, has been, and yet Gordon is still eating a lot into his carries. So how much of that is schematic, and how much of that is, you know, to my point earlier on, Ken Wisenhunt?
Yeah, no, I think part of it is definitely schematic. I mean, if you saw in the beginning of the year for the Chargers, when they had Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson carrying the load, running the football, they were extremely efficient and very productive. They were definitely moving the ball down the field with great ease and effectiveness. And, you know, Melvin Gordon, as everybody knows, was sitting out and missed all of training camp, came back, and it kind of just looked like he was running in mud. And they were trying to do everything they could to try to get him going. And, you know, you saw, you know, a small flash of the old, the Melvin Gordon of old in the past, in this past game on Sunday when he scored a 19-yard touchdown. But that's pretty much been it. I mean, he's just been very anemic. I mean, obviously, you know, him missing time in training camp and missing time for the holdout, it's definitely affected him, and he's just not been the most effective player. Now, part of that also is putting your players in the best positions to succeed, and I think the Chargers' play calling has been very vanilla and very predictable, and that's definitely something you cannot discount.
So what can we expect then from Shane Steichen?
That's a very interesting question. Well, Shane Steichen has been a coach that's been an up-and-comer in the Chargers organization, someone they highly covet. And it's definitely, he's getting his first opportunity. Now, I think this is not going to be the whole picture of his vision, because Anthony Lynn's going to be highly involved in that. But the first thing you're absolutely going to see a difference in is a better, more of a commitment of running the football. And hopefully that means getting Austin Eckler on the field a lot more. He only had 5 touches in the last game on Sunday, which is completely unacceptable. He's a guy, whenever he gets the ball in his hands, he makes somebody miss. He always moves forward. He's a weapon, and he's a weapon that needs to be utilized a whole lot more. So, I mean, we'll see what type of mix they get, but I can guarantee you this, it's going to be much, much more balanced.
And I would expect Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon, any running back that's on the field is going to be featured a little bit more in the passing game as well, because Steichen was a coach who had been connected with Josh McDaniels. Had he gotten a head coaching opportunity, Steichen was reportedly, and I had heard, a potential OC candidate there as well. So the Packers chose Matt LaFleur over Josh McDaniels. This is potentially a window into what could have been for this offense, although I don't think Packer fans are going to feel bad at all about the decision that Green Bay eventually made. On the other side of the ball, this Chargers defense, there are plenty of names on this defense with Casey Hayward and Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and yet they are a bottom 10 team in defense. They have been for a lot of the season. What has been the disconnect there from the personnel we think that they have to the actual production that they've been able to produce?
Well, I mean, the pass rushers are doing their thing. Well, mainly Joey Bosa. He's just been an animal. But they haven't really got that push in the middle of the defensive line, and obviously that affects the pass rushers. But you can't talk about this defense without talking about the injury to Derwin James. They lost mm-hmm. their all-pro safety, Derwin James, in the offseason before the season even started. He basically had a foot injury where he had a screw that was put in college. It kind of bent, and so they had to remove that screw, and he was going to be out 3 to 4 months. Now, we're coming up pretty close on that timeline, but this was a guy who was a jack-of-all-trades that he just did everything and did everything well. He could play in the box and run support. He could rush the passer. He could play center field. He was just an animal. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, fills multiple hats, and you can't replace him. You just, even with multiple players, he's just that good. And also, they lost Adrian Phillips to a broken arm, who was a kind of a hybrid linebacker safety who did a lot of the dirty work in the running game, and also just as that, like I said, that hybrid player. I mean, those two guys have been sorely missed, but the biggest problem for the Chargers defense has just been the inability to stop the run. I mean, they got teams running all over them, and, you know, obviously when you can do that, you can dictate the pace and dictate the offense. And, you know, this is a pretty scary matchup going against the Packers, who have pretty good balance. I mean, they have obviously a great quarterback who has having an amazing year. 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, just unbelievable. And then Aaron Jones is having a great year, and he's a weapon both in the passing game and the running game. So it's going to be a really tough test for this team. But absolutely, you're going to have to account for that balance, and also Aaron Rodgers' ability to run the football too. It's going to be a tough test on Sunday.
All right, we're going to get back to David in just a second, but before we do, let's talk about the folks at Roman, a men's health company, because they're changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Get $10 off your first order of swipes and free 2-day shipping at getroman.com/lockedonNFL. All right, back to David. Yeah, this was supposed to be the Derwin James Bowl because a lot of Packer fans really wanted Derwin James. I was someone that felt like, you know, he was one of the two or three best players in that whole draft. Green Bay traded down instead of taking Derwin, wound up with Jaire Alexander, and then used that extra first round pick to move up for Darnell Savage. So the Packers will have the two players that they got on their side of the deal, and the Chargers will not have their one guy. As we stand right here, it is a stark difference from a year ago when Packer fans were watching Derwin James wreak havoc on the league. And, you know, Mike McCarthy was on the verge of getting fired. So, what a difference a year makes, I guess, is the long and short of that. Where does this defense then turn for answers? And if you're the Packers, where are you trying to exploit them? Because it seems like Aaron Jones on these linebackers is a matchup that Green Bay can exploit. And if Devontae Adams comes back, then you've got, you know, him against Casey Hayward. But then the rest of this secondary has not played up to the expectations that we've had for them coming in. And Green Bay has been able to make, you know, chicken salad with some of these backup players.
So like I mentioned, obviously running the football is going to be the biggest weapon against the Chargers defense. They just cannot stop the run for the life of them. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed that the Packers like to do and do very well is utilize the running backs in the flats and also like those 5-yard outs to the, you know, just the corners. It's a really good outlet pass for Aaron Rodgers. He uses it a lot and he gets his running back out in space and lets him, you know, make a move kind of a lot like what Austin Eckler does for the Chargers. But that's going to be the recipe there. I mean, Green Bay is going to take their shots, but I think as long as they keep Phillip Rivers and the offense off the field and they control and dictate the pace with the running game, they're going to have success. I mean, the Chargers, like I said, they can't stop the run. It's the biggest kryptonite for them. And until they figure out a way to do that, I mean, it's going to be a long day.
If you're in the Chargers coaching room and you're putting together a game plan for Green Bay, whether it's offense or defense, where are you looking to exploit and where is the place where the Chargers can exploit Green Bay if they're trying to put a roadmap together to spring what I think at this point would be considered an upset even at home?
Oh, absolutely. It's an upset. I mean, the Packers are coming in 7-1 and they're rolling. I mean, coming off of another win. But on offense, the Chargers need to utilize Hunter Henry, their tight end. The Packers' defense has been susceptible to good tight ends. Travis Kelce had a good game against you guys. Hunter Henry is of the same mold, although I think he's a better blocker. But Hunter Henry's coming off of two very good games. He's very productive. The Chargers need to use him over the middle of the field to try to keep the chains moving on defense. They have to pressure Aaron Rodgers. I mean, but they have to remember to keep contained because Aaron Rodgers is a very effective runner. He's ran 29 times for 97 yards, almost a 4 yard per carry average. So got to stay disciplined on the outside, but definitely you need to come after Aaron Rodgers. The Kansas City Chiefs sacked him 5 times in the past game. And, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers can make some incredible plays, and he's at his best when he's able to improvise and keep the play going. So try to get in there and get quick pressure and really put Aaron Rodgers on the grass. That I think that's probably the best roadmap for the Chargers to win this football game.
Is it the kind of thing? I mean, this is something that I think Kansas City tried to do a little bit. It has been, I guess it's the Packer fan biggest fear. And that is a team like the Chargers slows the game down. They pound the ball with Gordon and Eckler. Now that's, you know, the mandate from the coach. They hit a couple plays down the field with Phillip Rivers. And, you know, in 9 or 10 possessions, they score 4 or 5 times and force Green Bay to be efficient. Is that what you're looking at here, you think?
I mean, obviously that would be the ultimate goal. But the Chargers have not played very many games where they have had a lead so far this season. So, I mean, it's kind of difficult to know what that looks like. But I think
playing the best first quarter team and first quarter offense in the league.
Yeah, no, exactly. Obviously, that's very scary. I think the Chargers just cannot get down. I mean, they've gotten down in many of the games. I mean, they've always kept it close because, you know, they have the bend don't break defense and, you know, they have the ability to score points. But I think the Chargers, when they're at their best, you know, speaking to your point about scoring, is when they're in that no huddle and they're moving quickly, when they're moving the ball down the field and then the no huddle, they're almost unstoppable. They don't use it enough. I expect to see them use that more often. But I think that would be it. I mean, you use the no huddle, but also try to slow the football game down. But you only do that when you have a lead in the second half. I mean, in the first half, I think it's you know, put the pedal to the metal and try to score as many points as possible, because obviously the Green Bay Packers can score at will.
The good news is if they keep the game close at the end, there's no track record of heartbreaking or boneheaded plays to give games away.
Yeah, you're right about that, but that's because the Chargers have invented more ways to lose football games than any team in the history of the National Football League. So if you want a roadmap on how to do that, just watch the Chargers the past 10 or 15 years, minus last year, which they actually did fairly well in one-score games. But they've just been absolutely snake-bitten, and they just don't know how to close football games out. It's really sad. I mean, they have to get a giant lead in order to really feel comfortable. But if you're a Chargers fan watching this team lately, you know that it's never, ever going to be a blowout unless you're playing the winless Miami Dolphins.
All right, so let's have it. Let's get your prediction for what you see on Sunday in what should be in front of, 20,000 cheeseheads?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd say it. I mean, what did he say on Sunday Night Football? It was going to be 80% Packer fans. That's probably pretty accurate. I mean, the problem with the Chargers and Charger fans in Los Angeles is if you don't win in L.A., nobody cares about you. If you don't win championships, right, you are completely irrelevant.
You can go to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many other tickets in town. There's so much more entertainment that I can find. If you don't win, you are going to be replaced. And that's the simple fact, especially coming out coming off a 12-4 season where they win a playoff game. Nobody cares because you didn't win a championship. It's the same thing here on Sunday. But if we're going to have to put my money where my mouth is, obviously I don't feel comfortable about this game. I mean, the Packers are scary. They have two guys that have 15-plus sacks. Or 15 sacks on your defense. You guys got great weapons on the offensive side. I mean, a giant of a tight end. Devontae Adams, if he plays. Aaron Jones has been unbelievable. Aaron Rodgers, who is just incredible. I mean, definitely a Hall of Fame quarterback, in my opinion. I think the Packers are probably going to win this game. I think it'll be a close game, because all Charger games are. But I see the Packers are going to win probably 28-20.
I had a very similar number in mind, so we'll see. We'll learn a lot more here in the next couple of days as the injury reports come out, if Devontae Adams plays, etc. I think that could change how we potentially feel about this, but I appreciate the insight, David, and we will. I hope you enjoy the game. I think we will enjoy the game, maybe a little bit more than you.
Yeah, hopefully not, but I mean, we'll see how it goes, definitely.
All right, I want to thank David again for joining the show. A lot of good stuff there, and as you heard, I'm pretty confident in the Packers' ability to go on the road and get a win. I made the joke on Twitter that Green Bay was a 3-point favorite in L.A. and felt like, you know, where's the home field advantage? That's it. Los Angeles should not be getting any kind of home field advantage. It's going to be 25,000 Packer fans at this game. So I'm half joking about that. The last time the Packers played the Chargers in San Diego, I think Phil Rivers said they had to go to a silent count. So I expect a vociferous crowd in Los Angeles. And to his point, look, you know, if you're not winning titles, especially this year, then go watch the Clippers, go watch the Lakers, go watch the Kings. Those teams can actually win titles. And the Chargers, they can't do it. So a reminder, we're going to be back tomorrow, that Billy Turner interview. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're not going to want to miss it. That is tomorrow, and then Jason Hirschhorn on Friday, along with, it is a double dip on Friday, a double dip of Locked On Packers, our conversation with Jason and our Periscope only podcast. The only way to get that show is to show up on Periscope. You can watch it later on a replay. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but so you can still listen by watching. It's not just live. Periscope is nice like that. You don't even have to set your DVR. If you follow me, or even if you just search for me, Peter_Bukowski, you can find it and you can watch it. So I suggest you do that. It's just like subscribing to the podcast, which you can do on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. You can get Locked On Packers. Leave us a nice rating, a nice review. We always appreciate that. You can like us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. That's where you're going to see the link for the Periscope, at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow us on the podcast account at Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, we read all those messages, even if we don't have a time to respond to all of them. You can do that 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.